Hey everybody, and welcome to Authors and Dragons, where a group of comedic fantasy writers get together and try to make it through a whole game of Pathfinder without accidentally dying. Let's see if we pull it off this week. As always, the odds do not look great.
Hi, I'm John Harkness, and I play the role of Fandingo the Fantastical. In what passes for real life around here, I write the Black Knight Chronicles series of urban fantasy novels, the Bubba the Monster Hunter comedic horror novellas and short stories, and the Quincy Harker Demon Hunter and Shadow Council novellas, the latest of which, Calling All Angels, released a week or so ago on February 24th. So go out and buy all my stuff.
Hi, I'm Joseph Brassi. I play the role of Bjorg Bjornsson, enthusiastic and violent barbarian. I was an author on the Mongoliad Project, and my solo debut, Skyfarer, comes out fall 2017 from Angry Robot Books.
Hi, I'm Rick Gualtieri, and I play Silas Kane / the Arrow of the Gods, whichever one shows up this week. And in real life, I write the Tome of Bill horror comedy series, including the recently released The Last Coven, which is the final book in the series. And I'm currently hard at work on my next projects, Devil Hunters and an urban fantasy adventure called Get Bent.
Hello, my name is Robert Bevan. I play the role of Klaus Richter, the rogue. In real life, I write the Caverns and Creatures series of comedy fantasy LITRPG novels and short stories, starting with the first book, Critical Failures, which is currently looking for funding for a screen adaptation. For details, you can go visit my Facebook page.
Hey, my name's Steve Weverell. I play Brandon Fymaster, the monk. I'm also getting over a cold, which is why I sound a bit strange than usual. In real life, as well as getting over a cold, I write the Doomsayer Journeys comedy fantasy series.
And I am Drew Hayes, the GM of this game, and tonight I am sponsored by Thunderpear Publishing, which is a little bit cheating because it's my company, but I'm here to tell you that Forging Hephaestus, the new book by that awesome author you've heard about, Drew Hayes, is out right now. You can get it in print, digital, or audio versions. I also write books like Superpowers, Fred the Vampire, Accountant, NPCs. You guys have heard this podcast a lot. I think you're fairly familiar with our catalogs. Anyway, when last we left off our intrepid adventurers, they had gone to the inn and had a night of revelry and drinking and eventually sleep, although the times are probably different for each of them. But when they come down, they find that the inn has been emptied, and there is a lone man with a pair of spectacles and a long robe waiting for them. Hello, hello.
Do you worship the rag, sir?
Did you bring bacon?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is the world of fantasy, so it's more like not the kind of robe that I would wear in the morning.
No, not a bath robe, okay. like a spellcaster fancy robe.
He's not just sitting there with his balls hanging out or anything the next week. Good.
I mean, you can't see under the robe. The balls might be clean, but it's not a cloak, you don't really know.
Well, everybody's naked under their clothes.
But it's not a cloak.
Did you bring bacon?
No. But the food will be served soon. Then gentlemen, if I could all have you just take a seat, please. Thank you.
Bjorg will sit down with a thud.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I understand yesterday you were put on a quest to obtain some skins for the automaton in the item shop, and that's all great. That's fine. However, there seems to be a bit of some verbal confusion, and words were spoken here that do not belong to this multiverse. They are just not a property of it, and I am here to make sure that this doesn't happen anymore. So,
what the hell are you talking about?
The creatures that you're hunting, I believe the automaton called them phaser beasts, and that's fine. You can use that all you want, but the shopkeep... Well, he gave you a different term, a term that he is not permitted to use within this universe.
You mean we can't call him... Shit, I drank too much. I don't remember what we called him in the first place.
It's irrelevant. Winky cats. All you need to know is that from here on out, you can call them Dat Placer Beasts, and it will be fine.
Dat Placer Beasts.
Yeah. Yes. Quite all right. If you say the other one...
I seem
one,
to have displaced the memory of what they were called
sounds
before.
Stupid.
What about this placer, beasts?
You should all probably forward, listen. Listen, I am a powerful wizard. You will listen to me.
You know, the more you have to tell somebody how powerful you are, the less likely they are to believe it.
Well, I have woven an enchantment of legality around this land, and anyone who
around
uses
that
the
land?
Other version of Dat Placer Beast will immediately suffer the scalding pain of the law.
Where?
Well, that's up to be determined, I suppose.
Lawyers.
I'll give you one of Silas's gold pieces if you'll say the other one.
Do as you like, however, yeah. I am off. I have other wizards to hang out with.
Hey,
we're
so,
all getting together
like,
on the beach.
Who's enforcing this, man? Who do you work for?
I'm a wizard. I work for and with other wizards. We hang out on the beach. It's a very nice place.
I think this is the robot's father. Let's get him.
Wait, so you're like a bunch of, what, coastal wizards?
Dangerous territory, my friend.
Coastal
now,
wizards?
Like sorcerers of the coast.
Oh, wait, yeah, beaches are dangerous. We found a cliff on a beach once. It was dangerous as shit.
Uh-huh. I'm sure that's fascinating. Bye! And he turns and walks out.
So.
Well, that was weird.
I guess we're not supposed to talk about dim placer beasts.
I wonder how he feels about creatures which behold.
I would guess he has very similar opinions on that, as well as minds that get flayed.
I for one believe we
Wait.
Should follow his advice because lawyers are amongst Toreg's creations. Thus, they are all powerful.
I don't understand what it is about mimes that get laid. What's the problem with well, mimes suck. Okay, never mind. I got it.
If
Where's
any of you
bacon?
Don't get these jokes, I apologize. look up OGL and wizards and copywriting things they don't really own.
Oh, fuck that. If you don't get these jokes, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast.
That's a good point.
I'm not going to go that far. This is kind of a deep cut.
If you don't,
if these were copyrighted until I had to look them up.
If you don't get these jokes, email us with copies of your receipts for at least $20 worth of book purchases, and we'll explain it all to you.
I was going to say, if you don't get these jokes, welcome to the podcast. Hope you're enjoying things. And congratulations on living a probably more full and productive life than we have.
Oh, well, set the bar low, why don't you?
I know.
Which kind of like disproves the fact that they would even be listening to this podcast.
By losers, for losers. All right, losers, so are we going to go hunt that place beast or these placer beasts or whatever?
As you guys
I believe
talking,
we are hunting dead ass.
More people are sort of coming into the tavern, and breakfast is getting fried up, and shit's going down. They were all avoiding the wizard, go figure. But now that he's gone, they're sort of rolling back in, and you guys do see a dwarf
why wouldn't
with
they
a lot
avoid
of
him?
Fur he's... on him and a big old crossbow strapped to his back. As one of the
Actually,
first people
yeah.
comes down.
I wonder if he knows anything about the wilderness.
I wonder.
Well, he's a dwarf. I'm more interested in knowing if he knows anything more about Toreg.
See, that's the thing. Would it occur to any of us to actually ask for help? We do seem to... generally, our plan of action is just to pick a direction and wander in it until we are nearly killed.
Screw that. He's one of the chosen people, so I'll go. I'll immediately go up and greet him as... Greetings, fellow brother of Toreg.
To be fair, Silas talking to a dwarf is pretty in character.
Yeah, that nicely set.
Yeah.
Well done.
Morning.
I'm going to have to walk up behind next to Silas and say to the dwarf, I just want to get this out of your pal. Please ignore anything stupid my friend says.
Oh, the a bit flustered. one of the stone fuckers trying to come and win me charms. Well, it's all right. It happens all the time.
I think stone fucker is the best description of him I've ever heard. Yeah, you nailed it, pal.
Did you know? I have invisible arrows.
Something about your lucky charms. I could swear he just said something about his lucky charm.
Is that a halfling or a gnome?
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Bjorg hangs his head and just says, "I am disappointed."
That happens.
Well, the dwarf's gonna go to his breakfast and start eating now.
Yeah. So, bacon? The nigger's gonna have some. Oh, all right. Turkey bacon it is.
No, it's a leg of
pilgrim chickens.
That's just what he's having. You can order what you want.
Oh, fucking heck. Give me some. Fandango's going to have some bacon and beer.
All right. Take off 2 silver pieces for breakfast, everybody who wants to eat.
Silas is too misplaced beasts.
It's okay. You guys are good. Breakfast is on Silas.
Awesome. Silas doesn't even notice. He's too busy, like, you know, trying to talk to this dwarf. He keeps trying to steer the conversation back to Toreg.
It's all right. I didn't order any for Silas. I just bought food for everybody else with Silas's money.
Food.
See, this is great. Clearly, the dwarf.
Sustain my engine of violence.
Clearly, the dwarf is meant to help us in our mission, and we all sat there and we all let Silas talk to him.
I apologize preemptively. I did my part.
Klaus would like to eat a small portion of his breakfast and pack away the rest to eat while other people are hungry.
So he's one step ahead, that guy.
Are you going to eat that while Silas suffers later?
Yes.
Yeah, lunch and a show.
Sweet, that's usually my shtick.
Can I roll an intelligence check to see if my character has an idea? It's not a very good idea.
Sure, go for it.
But I'm just
it's not a very good idea, then the DC is low.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think if it's a terrible idea, it's probably just a given for our guys.
I rolled an 18. He has a very bad idea extremely well.
Okay.
I'd like to ask the landlord if, seeing as they have bacon and things, whether there are any kind of farm animals I could purchase, live animals, like a chicken or something.
Okay, let me think this through. It's an inn. We got some chickens, but, I mean, we're an island, so... Anything you want has to be bred and raised here. Important's a son of a bitch, so you're gonna have to pay a little extra.
Gotta pay a little extra for the inbred chickens.
Yep.
I'm allowed to call them. Allowed to call them chickens. There's no surly copyright wizard gonna give me hassle for that.
Not yet.
We would like to purchase some of these egg-laying birds.
some diskins.
Some cocks.
Yeah. He tells you a cock. Chicken for 2 gold.
2 gold?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I think we're going to need
that. Deer cock.
That chicken better shit, Jade.
I assume if we're hunting something, we're going to need some kind of bait. So I'm going to go ahead and bait.
We have Silas.
We have a dwarf.
You had a really high intelligence check, so I'll go ahead and give you this one. Brandon can reason that if these things are that hard to kill and that dangerous and that hard to hunt, that there's this high of a price on them. You're the bait. You're the thing that will probably get them to come out and eat.
Okay.
We just saved 2 gold, guys.
Hang on, let me put it really in ways that Brandon Thighmaster can intelligently understand. Brandon can't imagine anyone being more attracted to something than they would be to Brandon Thighmaster.
That is an excellent point. You make an excellent point in a voice.
Thanks, outer voice.
From here on in the adventure, all bait is Brandon.
I say that out loud to the barman and then walk away.
He starts cutting the beer with a little bit of water, thinking maybe he made this batch too strong.
Yeah, right. I mean, let's face it, who wouldn't want to devour a ruby-tinted monk in shades and hot pants?
Yeah, you can't really argue that. Okay, I've made my contribution to our preparation for this mission. Come on, guys, step up.
All right, Fendigo's going to go
neutral,
over.
Not a positive or negative, so for you guys, that's pretty good.
So Fandingo's going to go over to Silas and the dwarf. Silas, come on, we have to go hunt them place beasts.
But I'm talking to my new friend here.
Silas, he doesn't like you.
I think he's going to join us. He's going to be a fellow convert.
You be hunting that placer beasts.
Convert.
It's like
what?
Someone else's
God.
Voice comes out when he speaks. What the hell?
A convert.
There's been a damn wizard in here, ain't there?
Yep.
Fucking wizards from the beach.
Sorcerers from the seaside, dude. They suck.
We've just reached meta levels of nerddom.
I know we did.
I think I've already used Sorcerers on the Shore in my books.
Sorry, you be hunting dat placer beasts, I take it?
That's what they tell us.
Yep.
That's what they tell us we have to hunt, because we can't hunt dem placer beasts.
Well, you be careful. They dangerous prey can gut a man from asshole to eyeballs with one swipe of the claws. And hitting them, ugh. You have better luck hitting the pisser after a few rounds of dwarven whiskey.
This seems like a terrible idea. Why don't we just stay here?
But see, we have a secret weapon. Silas leans in and whispers, I have magical invisible arrows of Toreg.
This is all my fault.
You already know the perils of the dwarven whiskey.
We're all going to die and it's all going to be Fandingo's fault.
So why don't you join us in this great hunt?
Nah.
Silas puts his hand around my friend.
Okay, well, we're not gonna touch. We're not touchers. Not touching. Listen, I got my own traps to run in my own game to hunt, but I tell you what, you boys are looking for transport. I can shave quite a bit of time off your journey. Drop you right off at their hunting grounds.
That'll be great.
Now there is
that sounds good.
A fee for these services, of course.
Two silver pieces.
We can pay. Each. We can pay you in Silas's.
We can pay you in prayer.
That's lovely, but it'd be 10 gold to get you out there, and it comes with a return trip if you're ready when I swing back through. Otherwise, it's 3 days there and 3 days back. I could get you back here before nightfall.
Hmm. All right.
I'm wondering if we should ask for a discount.
Fuck it, it's Silas's money.
Yeah, I mean...
That's true.
Let's be realistic, guys. You're not all going to make it back. So, can we just play for a one-way and...
I'm basically charging you guys for fast travel on this one. You can spend 6 days hiking, or you can pay 10 gold to go right to the area. Who says I didn't
go either way?
From a wizard to the beach.
So can we get a refund of like a gold per person if people die and don't make it back?
How would that be my problem?
Because Torek says so?
Exactly!
Is that how that stupid crap works?
But I'm not a follower of Torag, so not really my issue.
Who are you a follower of?
The only god a man can trust, and he slaps the blade at his side. Cold steel.
But would you like to be a follower of Torag?
Nah.
How about this?
I'll take that as a yes.
How about 8 gold and how about 8 gold and Silas will shut up?
He can talk all he wants. I won't be hearing him. The price is 10 gold. You have until I finish my breakfast to decide. I'll believe in that with or without you.
All right.
Damn it. Do my best to sell him on my religion.
Are you really going to keep talking to him?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. As Silas starts going on, you see him reach up and touch a stone necklace with carvings all along it. He just touches one of the runes carved into it. It glows slightly, and he looks a lot more at peace as he goes about eating his breakfast.
Stone of deafness.
And oh, then no, on the fourth day. Fine. And then on the fourth day.
Oh, wait. You can hear us. You just don't care?
I can hear you just fine. It's selective. He's not the first cleric. It's dwarven lands are full of them. You gotta find a way to shut him out mechanisms. Eventually.
And how much are those? Because. Can I sell you a slightly used paladin in exchange for that necklace?
It's gonna be a hard pass. Hard pass.
I don't want to know.
If we all buy those.
Thinking about paladins.
And then the first worshippers of
does Rick just have to spend the game on mute?
No, he's talking. You guys just won't hear him.
And then the first followers of Tuaregs spent the next 3 days gnawing off their own arms in supplication of him. He's just going on and on.
The dwarf tells you that if you want one of those, you have to buy them from a dwarven enchanter. That's where he got his. You guys have until he finishes his breakfast to decide if you want to pay him or spend 3 days hiking there and 3 days hiking
back.
Oh,
no. So Fandingo's dropping 10 gold right in front of the dwarf.
No, keep your money. I'm really close to converting him.
And he takes it, and it is gone. And he nods. I suggest you eat. Could be your last meal. Dat placer beasts are not known for their gentleness.
Don't worry, Silas. I kept my money. I gave him yours.
Well played, brother.
So, yeah.
Well, everybody can have a good, good meal?
Yeah.
All right.
A good, hearty breakfast.
A portion.
I assume there is good seafood here.
There is great seafood here.
Jorg will partake of this wonderful seafood.
Excellent.
After all, see? Food.
You all have a surprisingly enjoyable breakfast. You have a few drinks, you know. Everyone's told you these things are deadly as shit, so you make sure to enjoy yourself, and when you're done, you all exit the tavern with the dwarf. You start heading toward the stables, but he waves you off and says, Nope, follow me, follow me. And he kind of leads you a little bit out of a little ways out of town to a big open patch of earth. And then you see him pull into his pouches and pull out basically an engraved, what looks like a gem of some kind. You guys can roll me an appraise if you want to try and figure out what sort of gem it is.
Is it a red gem red like gem. that one we found in the church?
Why would you say that?
You guys have discovered it. It's the horse!
Fandingo swindles you out of 10 gold. Anything. Fandingo rolls a 5 for an appraise evil. Check.
God, if I'd
I think it would be fantastic if actually after all of his
horse was just swindling you guys throughout the game. Different.
Yeah, it's like the
And he's become some sort of demonic entity of just being a petty dick to people.
Yeah. I wonder where he learned that.
What is it because? Yeah, I got a 17 in appraise.
Okay.
So, feel good about that. I thought you guys would be more impressed.
I rolled an 18.
Oh, fuck you.
Joe, I didn't hear yours earlier.
Oh, he didn't. Bjork didn't roll.
Oh, okay.
Bjork says shiny rock, don't care.
Yeah, shiny rock, don't care.
Bevan and Steve know that it is a emerald.
Hey guys, it's an emerald, I say before Klaus does.
Alright, so you...
I see that it's green.
So you guys watch, and the emerald glows, and as it does, the ground sort of ripples beneath his feet, and the opening to a tunnel appears.
Is there water in the tunnel?
Nope, it looks nice and empty.
Okay, because we don't do so good with water. Yeah.
You get in, and
speak
the
for yourself.
Door overhead seals up, and then the ground begins to constrict a little bit, forming walls around you and a ceiling and a floor, and then you just feel like a rumble, as if you're moving, even though it seems like you're standing still.
Wow, we're in a dungeon, almost as if there was a game with, like, you know, these and, like, giant lizards with wings. Yeah.
It's like actually
walls and wyverns.
It's more like you're just in a room made of rock that's rumbling. I would have expected Rick to figure this out by now.
Are the walls moving closer together?
Nope. Stable.
Okay.
Yeah, this series of dwarven tunnels was built who knows when. I found them a few years back excavating. Oh, it's nice. They run all throughout the island. You gotta know a bit of dwarven.
There's something extremely meta about a dwarf finding old dwarven tunnels.
Meta? Nah, I don't know the word.
We're hunting dem placer beasts.
Dat placer beasts.
Ah, damn it!
Those placer beasts?
Damned place. All that matters is we're in dwarven tunnels, so that means we're closer to Torek.
Get us out of here right now! Ow.
All of us are closer to Torek than you, Silas.
Torek likes all of us better.
So we're kind of being pooped through these tunnels.
We are in the bowels of Torek. It's functionally a magical subway, is what you're dealing with.
Is there just like a random homeless guy sleeping there with us?
Are there signs anywhere that say "Mom"? That.
So I think we're like... that guy.
Yeah.
It smells like dwarven urine in here.
So you're saying you like it.
So you guys have about an hour if anybody needs to do or prepare anything, or...
I spend the next hour not making eye contact with anyone and trying to ignore the smell.
Bjork is looking at his arm compass.
It's whirling as usual.
I'm going to double check the spells I picked last time, and I think I'll probably stick with them.
Is nobody inquiring after Klaus's magical abilities? Are we all just that trusting?
I haven't actually used them yet. You might not even know.
That's a good point.
I mean, we just know that he's carrying a book, which is odd enough.
I've already lost interest. Yeah.
This group.
You did all go through a magical dungeon that gave you a wish. I mean, so you can probably put it together.
Yeah, Klaus wished that he could read.
Oh!
I try slipping our dwarven friend some of those Torag tracks. I filled my...
Torag tracks?
That I filled my, whatchamacallit, my coin pouch with last week.
Yeah, you're right. We already did have to create
it.
So basically, Silas is passing out a bunch of, like, badly drawn stick figure comics that say Torag on them.
That seems about right.
Silas rolls a 15 sleight of hand.
All right, let's give him a perception to see if he notices.
Rick, you should make up stick figure Torag flyers for Con Carolinas.
Oh my god.
Oh, he natural 20s. So you try and like slip them to him, and he just shifts slightly, bumps your hand, they fall to the ground and like get absorbed in the stone. Oh, whoops, a doodle, look at that. That's a shame. I bet those were nice. Well, they're miles behind us now.
That's okay. Now it's holy ground.
The wonderful thing about this podcast is the way that Silas rolls, you could almost think that there is a god, and he hates Silas.
Which but follows the story.
He hates Cross War.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I feel better about stuff, generally.
Alright, so this is where... So you guys are good for the next hour. And then the little thing comes to a stop, and a hole opens above you. And he just sort of motions. Alright, this is your stop. Dat placer beasts are all over this area. If you find one, awesome. Kill it fast. If you find two, run. If you find three, pray.
We'll be praying anyway.
Yeah, I was thinking one of us was going to
get
out of order.
I'll be back in a few hours. If your corpses are dead, I'll loot your bodies.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Our corpses are alive.
I like to be honest with people. It's part of who I am.
Thank you, Mystery
Brendan,
Dwarf.
Brendan, I think that means...
Whose name we didn't bother
Brendan,
to
Brendan, I think that means he's going to be fondling your abs if you die.
As the door's closing, he's like, if you need my help in the meantime, just call my name twice and I'll be there. And it closes.
Okay. So we just have to shout my name twice.
You wish.
Fandango shouts, my name! My name!
You think
and
you
we realize we are truly alone.
That dwarf lied.
All right. Everyone roll me survival checks.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
Survival.
My specialty.
Hey, Fandango rolls a 16 survival check.
Bjorg rolls a 6.
Silas Brandon. Rolls a 16.
Brandon Firemaster rolls a 17.
Klaus rolls an 18.
Oh, fuck you.
Suck it, Firemaster.
Wow. I just like the barbarian, the like, you know, the roughest, toughest, used to like, you know, wilderness, rolls the worst.
Go figure.
The one who's most likely to survive fighting a dat placer beast.
Careful.
You almost lost a hit point, John.
Yeah. Getting tased in the nuts by sorcerers by the seaside.
All right. Now that's really good. Okay, you guys don't have to fuck around with much. You're gonna walk a bit, you find some tracks, and you follow them to a wooded area.
Hey, look, it's a wooded area.
There are trees, and you think you hear something rustling nearby.
Kill it.
Go ahead and everybody roll me initiatives.
Silas gets a 22.
Brandon Firemaster rolls a 12.
Fandango rolls a 13.
Bjorg rolls an 8.
Klaus rolls a 10.
Silas, you have the first move.
Oh, what direction does the sound seem to be coming from?
Roll me a perception.
16.
Ooh, that's good. You can tell it's coming from somewhere to the west. It could be north, could be south, could be anywhere in there, but it's definitely coming from the west.
Does Silas know what direction west is?
That way.
Follow me, friends. I'll flush it out.
I assume everybody hangs back and lets Silas go to wherever the wrestling has come from.
Yeah, I don't know where he's
going. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. That's one move action to there.
Bjorg will watch.
And you use your other scanning around to see.
Okay.
Okay. So Silas has begun wandering west. Fandango.
Fandango is... Can Fandango get to... Can Fandango get to there and then still have a full action?
What's there? There we go. That's 20 feet. So yeah, that's within one move. So you could have a standard. Right. You wouldn't have a full round. You would just have a standard.
But I could get. But a spell's a standard action, right?
Yeah.
So I want to move right here a little to the, because Silas is indicating that the noise is coming from that away, so I don't have to listen to check for it. So I want to go up here next to Silas and cast Cord of Shards, pointing west. It'll make a cone-shaped burst of sound.
Just firing randomly into the bushes.
Yep.
That's a tree, by the way.
Oh, well, you know.
We've had problems with trees in the past.
Alright, so you're doing burst of sound.
Yep. It has a 15-foot range.
Okay.
So it'll go there.
Does it have a save?
Reflex negates any damage.
Okay, and what would the DC for that be?
19.
Nothing happens.
Good shooting, Tex.
But I am playing music now, so
cool.
I'm doing what bards do.
Brandon Thymaster.
Okay, so we're just we're sitting in a clearing between some trees. Silas has gone to rustle in the bushes to the west.
Yeah, Fandango's. Silas and Fandango seem really interested in a tree.
Yeah. To be honest, this map and whatever they're doing seems very boring. So Brandon Flymaster is just going to stare into space for his round. Until something interesting happens. Possibly try and look alluring. Space. He's not sure what the beast is, but he's confident that he's attractive to it. So.
All right, so Brandon Thymaster spaces out for a while and just sort of...
Actually, it occurs to me, we've already fought a blink dog, haven't we?
Yes.
So it's ridiculously... oblivious as my character is, I should have learned something from that. So I'm going to form up on Fandango, as he's the closest thing we've got to a healer. So I'm just going to move next to him.
Okay.
He's not wrong.
Accurate.
That was a shockingly insightful move and very good timing. Because
as we actually know what we're hunting, if I just shout into the wilderness, I call dodge on you, then place a beast, does that count?
No, you have to actually see and declare a target. But you won't have to wait long, because from the northern tree leaps down a displacer beast. That placer
a what?
Beast.
Yeah. Oh. It lost a hit point.
DM loses a hit point.
It loses a hit point. So the Dat Placer Beast leaps down, and it was going to go for Fandango, but Brandon put himself in the way, which is a baller move, man.
Fucking hero.
Yeah. So you're going to take two tentacles and a bite.
Huh. Sounds like chapter
21, 26, 9.
The 26 and the 21 hit.
14 damage.
Jesus. Hope you appreciate that, Fandango.
Yes. Actually, thanks.
Klaus, there is a Dat Placer Beast. It is your turn.
I will heroically cast Mage Armor on myself.
I love that you had an hour to prepare. Okay, alright. Do you want to move at all, or are you just casting Mage Armor?
Oops. Oh, man. Alright. Yeah, I'm gonna move to, did we see where it leapt from?
The tree to the north.
That tree. Okay. I will move to
this tree over here. And
well, you gotta go. Yeah. You gotta do talk directionally. Remember, people at home.
The tree to the west.
Tree to the west. Okay. All right, you've cast Mage Armor and walked over away to the tree to the west. Bjorg.
Yes.
It is your turn. There is a Dat-Placer Beast very close by attacking Brandon.
Bjorg is going to rush towards the thing with his sword in hand and take a swing.
Okay.
I think this should be about... Oh, wait, no. Okay, make sure I get my numbers right. And rolls a natural 20!
That's awesome! Now roll me a percent die, roll me a d100, okay, and pick half.
Low half. 23.
You said the lower half?
Yeah, lower half.
Alright, you hit. Roll to confirm crit.
Excellent.
Hey there, you copyrighted bastard.
29.
That will confirm. Okay. Right. Roll damage and double it. Or whatever your weapon's damage is. Might be double, might be triple. I don't know. You guys don't score many crits, actually.
Alright, so Bjorg calls back. Says, "Take this, spawn of the sorcerer by the seaside!" And rolls a 17 double. So,
make me 34.
34. That is not a bad opening gambit, sir. That was a good time not to miss.
Spank!
Dat Placer Beast is very unhappy.
Good. Bjorg is uncomplicated.
That's true. Unfortunately, Klaus... From the tree to the west, where Silas heard the noise in the first place, leaps down a Dat Placer Beast that attacks you.
Alright.
Two tentacles and a bite. Oh, natural one. Let's roll to see if he hurts himself. Oh, he's actually going to hurt himself. Yeah. 24. Yeah, that'll hit you.
Yeah, that'll hit.
And a 14. That I'm pretty sure is going to miss. So you only take 5 damage, so yes, that's not so bad. Okay. The Dat Placer Beast takes a little bit of damage for...
How much did he hurt himself for?
Not a lot.
Oh, alright.
He didn't roll a natural 1 again, so he just took some of the damage from his own hit.
So I lost 5?
Yep.
Okay.
Silas! It is your turn again. There are now 2 Dat Placer Beasts on the field.
Hear me, Toreg, as I make my atonement and save the unworthy thief. And I will fire 2 of the invisible arrows of Toreg at the devilish...
Oh my god. Seeing as either your faith is not strong enough or they don't exist, I'll let you decide which.
That would never occur to him.
The arrows have 0 effect.
I'll treat harder next round, Klaus.
Oh my god. Yeah,
good.
Fortunately, someone has no paladin powers left to lose.
I mean, I think he believes you, so I don't think I would dock him paladin points for this. There's a difference between malicious and stupid.
And it's very possible that he just thinks that Torek doesn't want to save Klaus.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah, he tried this time.
You've got Dat Placer Beast to the north of you, Dat Placer Beast to the west.
And I'm stuck in the middle with Brandon.
Yep.
And Bjorg.
Fandingo is going to start his bardic performance for Inspire Competence. So that everybody gets a +1 to hit and to damage.
I'm confident in these arrows now.
And that is my standard action for the turn. Am I out of range of both of the Dat Placer Beasts?
You do not know the range of a Dat Placer Beast attack, so maybe?
Does it look like either of them can hit me?
The mouths don't look that close, but those are some long tentacles. It's a hard guess.
Fandingo's going to step back a few feet. Straight move south, just a wee little bit.
Okay.
And that's all we're doing.
All right.
I saw a measurement just now.
I did too. It didn't make me happy.
Brandon, you're up.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
That Placer Beast looks a little hurt. That last attack fucked it up good.
Well, good. That's
Fandingo has nothing to worry about. His faith is stronger than Silas because he was able to touch the arrows.
I can touch my arrow whenever I like, pal.
Okay, I'm going to just making sure I've got my macros in order here. Yeah, I'm basically going to punch that Displacer Beast that just had a go at me there.
That's a hit point.
Oh, shit, man.
The word leaves your mouth and suddenly you just feel like a little pain in the ass.
It's the hot pant pinch!
So you're going to punch that Placer Beast.
Yeah. I'm going to punch this highly original creation that doesn't at all look like a panther with a squid glued to it. Unarmed strike.
All right. Both hits will break AC, but I need you to roll me a D100 twice and pick high or low each time.
100. Okay, I'm gonna pick high.
Miss.
Rolls a 22. I'm gonna pick high again. 74.
Alright, your second attack hits. You do 4 damage.
5.
Ah, 5.
And yeah, so to compensate. Take that.
Take that.
It's the Dat Placer Beast's turn. It is going to definitely strike at Bjorg, who did a lot of damage. Bjorg, you're taking 2 tentacles and a bite. 17, 13, 7.
Nothing!
Yeah.
Nothing hit you?
Well, yeah, fuck. Hold on. I gotta reorganize. No, the 17 hits. 17 hits, sorry.
I was like, wait a minute. Okay, then you take 6 damage.
Ah! Alright.
And that is pretty much the most it can do. It's gonna take a 5-foot step to shift position slightly.
Get away from me!
Okay, Klaus, you have a big cat squid thing on you.
Hold it for me and I'll shoot it!
I would like to take a 5-foot step to the southeast. I can do that.
Yep.
Correct.
That's a free. That's your.
Without
free
provoking. What's that?
Yep.
All right, and then I'd like to run around behind Silas.
Okay. In doing so, you take an attack of opportunity. Because you
have
threatened range.
Oh shit! That's right. All right.
13.
Misses.
All right. The tentacle swipes and misses you as you run.
All right. Silas, I believe in your arrows of Torek.
Miss. You're welcome.
For those who can't see the map at home, Klaus is clearly using Silas as a human shield.
It really could not be more clear. Then again, Silas is a paladin in armor, so, you know.
We've all done stupider things in combat.
That's sort of what Silas is supposed to do.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's stupid, I'm just, before anyone thinks Klaus is some kind of hero or whatever, or has a strategy.
Mage armor.
If anyone thinks Klaus is some kind of hero, welcome to the podcast, we're glad you decided to join us.
You might want to go back and start at the beginning, this builds upon itself, but we're just glad you took the time to join us.
He hasn't grappled into a tree yet. But I think that's what he was going to do before the displacer beast.
Yeah, cut. That was my plan.
are we at the part yet where Klaus starts clapping his hands and saying, I do believe in Torag, I do believe in Torag.
I can't believe we're going to be that far off. Bjorg, it's your turn. You had a Dat Placer Beast on you.
Dat Placer Beast. All right, Bjorg is going to haul back after receiving that blow. He is now going to go into a rage.
He wasn't in a rage before?
He was not, no.
God.
He was just mildly peeved.
Yeah, now he's been hit, so annoyed. He's going into a rage, and he's going to attempt to strike Dat Placer Beast right in Dat ass. And rolls a 19.
Roll me a d100. Pick high or low.
Low has been doing me good, so let's see what happens. Fail, 58.
Oh, all right, you swing, and it looks like you hit it, but your axe just goes right through, and it kind of shimmers in place.
Sword, not hurt, displacer, beast,
yep. Up, yes. Yeah, you feel a shooting pain in the ass.
Oh,
you lose a hit point.
Dat Placer Beast, Dat ass.
Yes. You should have aimed for dis, but you hit dat.
Yep. I definitely stole this from Robert Asprin's character, who can only cast dis spell and dat spell.
It's all right. We won't tell him.
All right. So the Dat Placer Beast number two is gonna come over here. It's going to bite Silas and put both tentacles onto Klaus. Alright, bite for Silas. 12, I know, does not break your AC.
Nope.
And then two tentacles for Klaus. A 20 and a 23.
My armor class with the mage armor is 23, so I believe that's a miss, correct? Or is that a
nope.
hit?
Nope, that's a hit.
That's a hit. Okay, so the 23 will hit you. You take 8 damage.
Ow.
And, like lest you thought we were done, you have finally made enough noise and caused enough trouble.
God damn it.
Hey, look at that over there.
I know.
Now we got Dem Placer Beasts.
You got all of Dem Placer Beasts.
Those Placer Beasts! And these Placer Beasts.
And, who can they make it to? Oh, they can just get to here. Okay. So, gonna leap over to here. The third Dat Placer Beast will leap from the tree to the east, landing very near Bjorg and Brandon, but not quite all the way there. He's close enough. So he
another
will,
Displacer Beast.
Oh, no, wait, never mind. No, he's not. So he'll give both tentacles to Bjorg for fucking up his buddy.
Oh, no.
22, 23.
Oh, yes, that's 19 two
damage.
Hit. Oh, shit. Bjorg is down to, let's see, Bjorg's down to 2 hit points.
Oh!
Jeez.
Bjorg is in the midst of his rage. He's sitting there huffing and puffing and bleeding and going, I don't feel so good.
Don't worry, I will save you.
I'm gonna die.
Have I got time to point out to Fandinga that while we all had a good laugh about Silas's invisible arrows, we are all now fucked. Thanks to that hilarious practical joke.
Silas, remember, you only had 2 invisible arrows of Torag, and now you fired them.
No, I had 5.
Well, Silas, it's your turn.
Oh.
God damn it.
All right. Silas will step back 5 feet. And seeing Bjorg in trouble, like, please, Torag, I beg of you to let me help this worthy barbarian, unlike the thief, who obviously you didn't find worthy. 2 invisible arrows of Torag.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm going to die.
You can't say Rick doesn't play his character.
No, unfortunately, we can't.
Everyone's going to die, and it's going to be my fault.
Speaking of, Fandinga!
Fandinga's going to move by...
Huh? Did I kill it?
No. Shockingly, no.
Fandinga's going to move 5 feet and cast Cure Moderate Wounds on Bjorg.
Oh, that's a solid move right there.
So, yeah. That's going to be 16.
Oh.
So it's 2d8 plus 1 per level. So at the 4th level, that's going to heal Bjorg for 16 hit points.
That's a good deal.
Back up to 18.
Yeah.
That's my 1 second level spell for the day.
It was a good use of it.
I thought so.
Brandon Thymaster, before you attack, would you like to roll me an intelligence check?
Oh, yeah, sure. If you've got some time to kill, you just... Okay, let's see what we got here. Natural 20.
It's good timing. So as your punch missed the last time, and it arced through the air, you took note of some of the still gleaming oil on your arm muscles, thinking, yeah, that looks awesome. I wonder how my face looks, though. I wonder if I have enough oil on it, or if I could add something else. Maybe something to smoky up the eyes. Oh, yeah, didn't that automaton give me something that I bought to put on my eyes? It's supposed to make me look rad, and also make this fight easier, but make me look rad.
Did you totally give me anything? I thought he was a stingy bastard.
You bought, didn't you buy the thing from True Seeing? The salve?
No,
the cheap use?
No, because that was ridiculously expensive. I bought the potion-like cure wounds.
Oh, okay. Then you think about that salve and think, man, that would have looked awesome right now. Anyway, go ahead and punch.
Jesus. Is there anything I gleaned? Did I successfully strike the squid cat?
No, you missed last time because of the glimmering magic.
Before that, though, I have had a successful... I have punched it.
I don't think you have succeeded yet, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, you did.
Did I glean any understanding of the copyrighted beast?
I forgot about that. Yeah, the Dat Placer Beast is a very unique creature.
If my special understanding turns out to be it's difficult to hit, I'm going to be very disappointed.
They're fast, they're strong. They're predators, too, though. And you know that they're not mindless beasts. If they as a pack think they can't win, they won't fight. So you know they can be broken in spirit, at least. Like, they won't just fight until they die. They'll run off if they don't think they can win this fight. So you might not have to beat them all. You might just have to convince them all that you can beat them all by beating some of them.
So, just punch it really well. Excellent.
There's also intimidations and other tactics that, like, Fandango could use, but, you know, you don't really know any of that, so... As far as Brandon knows, punching.
Or a big honk and intimidate check.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or diplomacy to convince them that you can beat them all.
Yeah. It's up to you, Brandon. I'm not going to charge you for that intelligence check because I made you roll that, so.
Okay, I'm going to scream, if we punch these things convincingly enough, they'll probably run away. And then I'm going to try to really convincingly punch the copyrighted beast to Bjorg's northeast.
All right.
The one that is wounded seriously from Bjorg's ass whooping.
He's going to really try and style this one out as well. So, in fact, I might give it a key strike just in case there's any kind of sort of sparkly magic that happens while he punches with a key strike. Key strike for 25.
It looks pretty awesome. You're, like, building up, your key surges through your muscles, and you punch forward, and roll me that percentage. Roll me that D100, and guess that high or low.
Okay, I'm going to go for high.
All right.
7.
It looks awesome. You, like, swing through the air, and the energy bursts out and just swooshes into nothingness as what you thought was the head is just air from the glimmer magic.
God damn it. Well, it looked good.
It did.
And that in itself is a victory.
That Placer Beast is going to, since you're right up in its fucking shit, it'll bite at Brandon and it'll give 2 tentacles to Bjorg. Bite for Brandon, 22.
Fuck!
Yeah, that hits.
8.
brings me down to 10 hit points.
Tentacle 1, Tentacle 2. 22 to hit Bjorg, and then I'm guessing a 16 won't hit.
No, 16 won't.
Okay, so only 10 damage.
Ugh, down to 8.
Klaus.
All right. Klaus would like to take a 5-foot step to the... Oops. Come on. Klaus, what are you doing? Oh, no, I'm over here. Oh, shit. Ooh. That 5-foot step's going to put me in range of the other one.
Yeah, after seeing these tentacles whip about, Klaus, you know that you are in range at all times.
Yes.
Like, there's no, there's really no escaping their range. Unless you flat out just run like a motherfucker.
Yeah. I'd like to put 2 arrows into the severely injured beast.
Okay.
And we'll see how that goes first. So.
Roll me your attacks.
Here we go. Ah, shit. 2 tens.
Yeah, they don't have great AC, but their AC's not that shitty.
All right.
And actually, we don't have any of the bonuses anymore because I had to stop playing to heal Bjorg.
Never mind. 2 nines.
There you go. Whoa, well, in that case. Bjorg, it is your turn. You are...
Well, wait. I was thinking about moving, too.
Okay, where do you want to move?
Is it behind Klaus?
Kansas.
I'm going to move. Yeah. All right. Only one of them.
No, all Shit. Of them can hit you right now.
Oh.
And if you leave any of their ranges, they get an attack of opportunity.
All right. I'm going to stay where I am.
Yeah, I kind of figured. Bjorg, it is your turn.
All right, Bjorg is going to haul back. So Brandon did not drop the one next to us, right?
No one has hit that thing. He swung and missed in the glamour. Klaus's arrows went way the fuck wide. You don't know what Klaus was thinking.
Apparently about Torag. Clearly not about dad. Clearly not about dad ass, which is what he should have been thinking about.
And Silas has been pantomiming the whole time.
Damn it, man! Be useful! He screams at Silas, and then swings a rage swing at the Displacer Beast, rolling a natural 20.
And you take a point.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, roll me a D100, high or low.
All right, I'm gonna keep choosing low since. Oh, hold on. All right. 35.
Woo! All right, double damage. Oh yeah, rolled again to confirm. Do this.
Hold on. 14. So.
Regular damage, but I have faith you'll probably still kill it.
All right. Oops. Yeah. Should be hilarious. 17.
That is enough. You lean in, and you are mad, and you just swing your blade up from the ground and catch it. Like, it looks like you're going for the leg, but then the glamour shifts, and you realize it's its head as you just come right up and fucking decapitate that thing.
That ass is mine!
You can have its ass. I want its head for a hat.
You now have one dead placer beast. However, it is Dat Placer Beast's 2 turn.
Oh, shit. Please.
Is it intimidated?
Nobody rolled an intimidation. Alright. Bjorg, you're taking the full thing, baby.
Alright.
Bites, 11.
Nothing.
Tentacle 1, Tentacle 2, 21 and 28.
Yeah, that's 2.
14 damage.
14 damage. So Bjorg is now at -7, though I believe I get to act because I have Die Hard.
Oh.
So hold on a second here. Let me just make sure I am accurately understanding how the feat works.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I believe you're still conscious even in negatives.
Or is it more like...
Yeah, basically he's still conscious at negatives and can take one action.
Right. So if you have a potion, you could chug a potion on your turn.
I don't know if he has a potion. Let me check.
Well, your turn's not quite up yet, so... All right, Dat Pacer Beast, number... Oh, I actually went out of order, but now this one's going to go next. It's going to go for, I guess, Klaus, because Silas is just pantomiming like a crazy person. All right, first bite, 6. Tentacle 1, tentacle 2. We're going to see if he hurt himself with that first tentacle. He did not. Okay, nothing above an 11, so definitely not going to hit Klaus. Silas.
All right. Back up 5, and Silas's like spirit is broken, so he's just gonna fire 2 regular arrows at the Displacer Beast fighting Klaus. Although it's gonna
be
a really
take one damage, buddy. You feel some pain in your ass.
Oh shit! Shit.
It's all right. We feel that every time Silas speaks too.
All right. Are you firing the one at Bjorg or the one next to Klaus?
Oh, next to Klaus.
Really? Okay. I was mostly asking rhetorically. There you go. Shoot your arrows. I'm actually genuinely shocked by that.
All right. Actually, both are AC 27.
That's more than enough to hit. Roll me 2 D100s and guess high or low on each.
All right. Going to guess low on both.
That's the Silas way. 29, 27. You hit, buddy. You do a full 7 damage.
Yay.
Hey, I mean, damage is damage. Do you need to move or anything, or are you good?
No, I moved 5 feet.
All right. Fendingo.
Fendingo's going to cast Cure Light Wounds on Bjorg.
Solid move.
So that'll be a slash roll.
Bjorg and those criticals have definitely made a big difference in this fight already.
8. 5.
Pretty much the only difference.
Well, the good news is that
will stabilize his ass.
Well, the first point brings him to 0, and so the other 4 bring him up, so he's at 4 health now.
Okay.
Brandon Thighmaster. The Dat Placer Beasts have just started ignoring you and going to town on your friend, and your feelings are a little hurt.
Wait, can Fandango try and intimidate after he heals Bjorg, or does the heal take his entire turn?
The heal the is standard, and trying to intimidate like that is a standard.
Is also a standard? All right.
Yeah. Because you're putting a lot into that. That's not like a casual thing.
I'm also only a moderate... I'm only kind of good at magical stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're ignoring me. Right.
Yep.
There's something else I learned in the battle with the Blink Dog. I'm going to hand my healing potion to Bjorg and say, here, hold this. And then I want to pick up the corpse of the Displacer Beast and drape it over my shoulders like a fancy coat.
Well, as you're doing it, feel a pain in your ass as you lose one hit point.
It has to be said. Right. I don't want any misunderstandings on what I'm trying to do here. I'm going to make a fancy Displacer scarf out of the
corpse.
That place of Beast.
Okay.
And then I'm going to attempt to intimidate the still standing that place of beast. So I'm going to roll and intimidate whilst wearing its friend as a coat.
Okay.
Thinking outside the box here.
Oh, it's not a terrible idea.
Is that in your rule book, Wizards of the fucking Sand Dune?
Wearing one motherfucker to fight another motherfucker.
Brandon Thighmaster rolls a 9.
Alright, Brandon Thighmaster rolls a 9, so not terribly intimidating. But, Brandon, you are probably the most self-aware person here, in that you are always aware of your body.
Yes.
And you've noticed that slinging its corpse over your shoulders, when you look down, you've got a little bit of that weird glamour kind of drifting down from it. Like, it's not quite as good as it was on these things, but it's definitely there, and you can definitely, you can notice it.
So we only partially saw your failure.
Well, I'm just going by what the character knows. Last time we fought a plague dog, it went for the healer, and then we fucked up its friends for about what seemed like ages. That's all I remember. It seemed like it might be a wise intimidation technique. I'm not seeing any better ideas here, guys.
Not certainly not from us, you're not.
That's just generally true, yeah. Okay. And it is now Klaus's turn.
Okay, now
that mage armor is saving your ass, buddy.
No, it's not, because none of the attacks that have hit me would have.
Oh,
and then none of the ones that missed me.
Mage
I haven't
armor.
Gotten any attacks in that range.
Yeah, mage armor doesn't stack with your armor, buddy.
Oh, it doesn't.
It does not.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I've played many a mage. You get one armor bonus. It can be from armor or it can be from mage armor.
Bummer.
Yeah. So, but that's not too bad. Most of your AC is dex based. It just gives you a +2. So rather than being a 19, your AC is a 21, which is still awesome. And most of these still wouldn't have hit you.
If only you'd cast out someone who doesn't rely on armor for their armor bonus.
So your AC is a 21.
Now, okay. If I take my 5-foot step, does that...
Your 5-foot step does not provoke an attack of opportunity.
Okay. All right, that was my question. But I can't attack with arrows if I'm right in his face, right?
I don't think so.
Well, you can't.
Okay, well, I'll take... Okay. I'll take my 5-foot step. Now, only one of these two have been damaged?
Yes, only the one in front of you.
Yes. So I will take my 5-foot step to the southeast, and I will shoot two arrows at the one that was I was right next to.
Okay.
Shoot All right, arrows. Here's to hoping I get better rolls. Alright, I got a 24 and a 15.
The 24 will hit if you can roll me a D100 and guess high or low.
Here's a big if. Alright, I'm gonna guess high. 16.
Well, you guessed high, so that's a miss.
Oh, shit.
Bjorg, you are up. You are standing. You are hurting, but you are standing. What you
want? You're holding a healing potion.
Bjorg is gonna... Sorry, what was that last?
You're holding a healing potion that you put in your hand.
Okay, will taking that healing potion mean not making an attack? Or can I take it as a move action?
Since it's already in your hand, you can use it as your move.
Alright, so I'm going to take the healing potion. What does it do? Like, what do I need to roll?
1d8.
Okay, that's fine. Alright. 1.
Well, it's plus spell level, so we'll assume a 3. So give yourself 4.
Alright, so that's
Brandon
4,
bought
so
it from
8.
A pretty decent outlet.
Alright. And then Bjorg is going to basically chug the proverbial milk, go, tastes like life. And then take a fucking swing at this thing for 27.
That will 1000% hit. Now roll me a D100 and pick high or low.
God, okay. Well, low has been serving me okay. 55, fuck.
Sucks, man.
Oh, well.
I also would have...
alternated.
I would have not drank that potion.
Oh, well.
I would have waited until it pushed me into negatives and then used that to come back.
Well. Oh, well.
But you've got Fandango with you, so you'll probably be okay.
I have one more spell.
There you go.
Okay.
Good timing. Actually, okay, so number two is going to go after Silas this time, because Silas actually hit it. So, tentacle, bite. 13, 28, 18. So, 2 hits.
Yep.
9 and 5. 14 damage. 14. However, Dat Placer Beast number 3, Bjorg hasn't actually done anything to it, and Brandon is now desecrating the corpse of its kin. So, it's going to take some swings and bites at Brandon. So... Tentacle, bite. 29, 17, 22.
At a 29, 22, definitely hit.
17 doesn't hit?
No, 17 doesn't hit.
All right. So the 29, well, that's a crit if he connects. Let's roll for confirmation. Oh, 25. Yeah, that will be a crit. But for the both of those, he has to roll a D100.
Ooh.
And as long as he gets within a span of 80%, he's right. So I'm going to say anything 1 to 80 for him will hit. So anything higher than 80, and it's a miss. So first attack, which is the crit. 68, it's a hit.
Jeez.
83, it's a miss as it swings in, but because you are also now a little bit glamored from wrapping the Dat Placer Beast around your neck, it's having a little bit of trouble seeing you. So you take the crit, which is 7 doubled, so that's 14.
Well, calm down, fellas. But I would hope that everybody learned from my what turned out to be very intelligent action of wearing wearing the dead friends of your enemy.
and becoming a dat monk.
So you're saying we should wear your unconscious body?
Well, I'm unconscious now, so I can't contradict that. That's it. That's the conclusion you come to.
Silas, it is your turn.
Sorry, I was just updating the live blog. Okay. 5 back. And we'll unload 2 more of the filthy, mundane arrows into this thing. All right, a 28 and a 14 AC.
Only that 28 is going to hit, so roll me a D100 and guess high or low.
All right, we'll guess low again. No, 56.
You miss. Fandango, your friends are getting their asses whipped.
Yeah, no shit. How out is Brandon? Is he bleeding out, or is he just unconscious?
-4.
He's got some wiggle room, but he's not doing great.
So I should probably run over and use my last healing spell on Brandon.
Well,
or I could wait until Bjorg gets the shit knocked out of him again, because Bjorg can one-shot these guys.
Yeah, it's what can you do with your thing? I mean, he's got 6 rounds to try and stabilize on his own, and you can medical stabilize him. Or you can try and keep being Bjorg's support to keep him up and hopefully killing these things or scaring them off.
I'll stay and back up Bjorg. And I can't then use another first level spell, because I guess I'm just going to play my bardic performance and give everybody +1 to hit and damage.
It's not bad. I'll even give you an extra 1% on hitting them with that.
All right.
All right.
So yeah, that's what Fandango will do.
Brandon, roll me a D10 and try to guess the number before you roll it.
Okay. Number is going to be 9.
4. You went down to 4. -5.
But
Klaus.
All right, Klaus. Time to save the day. Klaus is going to take a 5-foot step to the... Oh, shit. That's not random. Well, I'm still taking the step. Over to the southeast behind Silas again. And... shooting. Alright, and Klaus is going to shoot 2 arrows at the that beast nearest us.
You didn't say the whole thing. You're okay.
Yeah. It's that beast.
The wizards from the beach are very specific.
God damn it!
Oh, 9 All and right. 8. 10 and 9.
Well, 10 and 9. I got bonuses.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Pew, 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 pew.
We're the fucking stormtroopers of Pathfinder.
You know, at least Silas had an excuse with the imaginary arrows.
I think Klaus might be firing imaginary arrows, too.
I'm starting to wonder. Maybe he really did get into the breakfast whiskey. Bjorg, it is your turn. You are still standing. Brandon is not. Right. He sort of took that one for you.
All right. Bjorg's going to heal back and try to take this fucker out. and rolls a fucking 14.
15.
15.
A 15, but is that enough?
That is.
Excellent. Okay. All right, taking highs and 99. So
wow, that will do it. You hit. Do some damage. Nice.
All right. Let's kill this fucker. 2d6. 21.
Jesus.
Does that include your my extra one?
That's a 22 then.
Okay. Yeah, you cleave the shit out of this thing. It's looking at you warily now. It's seen you kill its friend, and then it took one sword hit from you, and it is very unhappy with it.
How are you not dead?
Dat Placer Beast number 2 is going to focus on Silas again, since he's the only one who's been hitting it. Tentacle, bite. 15, natural 20, and an 8. So I think only the natural 20 hits you.
Yep.
Rolling to confirm crit. 22. Crit. So 6 Jesus. Times 2 is 12.
And I'm staggered at 0.
God dang.
We are not doing so well here.
This one is going to look between you and Brandon, and then it's going to go ahead and take a shot at you, Bjorg, because it...
All right.
It's not dead yet. Tentacle. Natural 1. Tentacle. Natural 1. Okay.
Excellent.
Hang on. One more, let's see. Okay. So he just rolled 2 natural 1s in a row, which means he crit on himself. Oh, no, wait. He's definitely going to hit himself. I have to roll to see if he crits or not. So if it's under 5, he crits himself. If it's less than that, he hits himself. 16. So he hits himself, and he hits himself for that full 10 damage. And 2 in a row is going to basically wipe his turn. Like, he tries to attack you, and he just gets his tentacles tangled on another, and they both smash him in the head. And he... Oh, wait, hang on. He hit himself twice, though. Okay, so... Jesus. And then another one. Yeah, that was a lot of fuck-up. 2 ones in a row was nothing to fuck with.
So, how close to down is this one?
This one looks like shit. This one looks like hammered shit.
Okay.
It is not looking good. Silas Kane, you are up. You are at 0.
All right.
If you would like to down a potion or do something similar to that.
I don't think Silas has a potion. So instead he will take a step back, reach for the arrows of Toreg and immediately pass out. Just taking that one action pretty much destroys you.
When you're at 0. You get one standard.
Fire.
All right, you pantomime shooting for your 0 turn, for your turn. Fandango. Shockingly, you do not need to heal Bjorg this turn because that Dat Placer Beast just fucked itself up.
Sweet. Hey, Fandango has this bad Oh, I'm already playing, so I can try to fire daggers out of the ass of my guitar.
All right.
It does that.
It did. Did you buy daggers for the guitar?
Yeah, I bought like 6 of them.
I only remember him having 3.
Oh, right, because they were fucking mismatched daggers, yeah, and they weren't the ones that would fit in.
Yep.
Shit.
So, yeah, now is the perfect time to test out that attack you've never tested before. Or verify.
Firing around Bjorg. That place would be.
These guys don't count as humanoid, do they?
They definitely do not.
I can't even like use a 0 level spell to do anything to these guys. Nah, I'm just gonna keep playing. I ain't doing fuck all. I'm gonna sit here. Anything else I try to do is just going to make things worse for everybody.
Isn't that pretty much what any of us do?
Yeah.
True. Brandon, yeah.
Roll me a d10 and try to guess the number.
Okay. I'll go for 7. 1.
All right, you are negative six. Klaus.
All right, Klaus. We'll take a 5-foot step behind Silas. And I will try to... I will magic missile the dat placer beast next to Brandon and Bjorg.
Okay.
Okay. That's, I believe, a D4 plus 1. All right. Oh.
Hang on, I'm looking up.
Max, 5 points of damage.
Nice. Hang on a second.
Sorry?
I said nice. Hang on 1 second. Okay. Okay, yeah, there's no missing, no saving throw, and these guys do not have spell resistance, so yeah, that will hit it right on.
Okay.
It looks terrible.
I was hoping that was going to bring it down. Oh, well. Did my best. I am not completely useless in this fight.
I was quite impressed that you're just trying out the spell for the first time by throwing magical energy nearby.
I would like to draw everyone's attention to the fact that Klaus, apropos of nothing, just opened his hand, mumbled some words, and fired magic into the Dat Placer Beast's side.
And we're hanging out with a red-painted monk in gold hot pants. This is not the strangest thing we've seen.
Fair enough. All right, Bjorg.
All right,
I'm going to tell you right now, if you hit this thing, you're going to kill it.
All right, well, Bjorg is going to haul back, and using all of Fandingo's magic and all of his martial strength and rage, will heave and rolls a 21. So
roll me a D100, pick high or low.
All right, here we go. And picking my numbers, right, picking low, so... And there goes, 29.
That will hit. Roll me damage.
All right.
Just to see by how much you kill this thing. I guess you could technically still fail.
14.
That will 15. Not fail.
Oh, 15.
You slay this one, too. You're just raking your sword up and chopping it in half. And it's actually...
That was a natural one. I guess he couldn't technically fail.
Oh, yeah, he has a plus 10 damage now. Well, he has multiple dice he rolls, too.
Yeah. I don't know which I don't know which one I rolled the natural one on.
Yeah, you got three and a one. Yeah. So Bjorg slays another one, and it is now the Dat Placer Beast's turn, and the third one, seeing a bunch of you still up and the big one still up that's killed two now, decides maybe fuck this and runs away. Because it's not stupid. It doesn't want to die. Congratulations, you killed two Dat Placer Beasts.
I have a question. Was Bjorg's hit within 5 points of killing it?
Are you asking if you made a difference?
Yes.
You did not.
What?
Bjorg cleared it by more than five. But Bjorg could not have cleared it by more than five easily, and in that case you would have very much made a difference.
I still contributed.
Yeah, had the roll been lower, it would have been very different.
So I contributed. Klaus almost made a difference.
I made as much of a difference in this fight as my mage armor did.
Yeah. Fandingo, Brandon's bleeding out.
So yeah, let's see. / roll D8. We'll cast my last spell on Brandon Thymaster, and we will heal him for it's 9.
Nice.
It's 1d8 plus 1 per level.
First one gets you to guys, 0, and then 8.
Silas is out, too.
Yep.
Silas
is 0. Silas isn't... You used one standard.
I used one standard.
You get a standard. You get one action. Oh, okay. Here. All right, so
before it's too late, that last displacer beast that ran away.
Up. That's
can
a
I
point.
Shoot it? Ah, bummer. Oh, you got it. All right.
You tried to shoot, but then you got a sudden pain.
You tried to shoot, and then the pain rippled through your butt. You can have one all right. roll.
All right, I'll take it. Natural 20.
Nice. Roll a D100 and guess high or low.
All right, guessing high, 85.
Nice.
All right. So I guess the
you have accomplished nothing.
Double or triple for a bow. Yeah, whatever. I feel good about it.
And tell your friends about this too.
That's right.
That is by far the most damage you did in this fight, and right at the end. Oh. Okay, so you guys can collect the beasts, and the dwarf will come pick you up and take you back to the inn where you can all rest, and we will RP a little bit of that next time. But for now, it is time to get to the live blog, where we answer questions from our listeners. And unfortunately, Joe has to leave us right now, so Rick is going to be taking us through these.
Yeah, it is. This one looks like it was already kind of answered. But Emma asked, what program do you guys use for generating and sharing maps? And it's already been answered, Roll20.net.
Yeah, Roll20 is a great program. Yeah. Highly recommend to anybody who wants to play remotely.
All right.
Yeah.
Don't fucking sponsor this. I'm going to skip this question because it looks like it's mostly for Croce.
Oh, okay, yeah, we can't answer that one.
Yeah. So, all right. So, Corey writes... I was playing a game and did something in character that caused the DM to start cursing and exclaiming, "You lucky SOB." What actions have you had that worked for you in game but pissed off the DM because of something? You know, hopefully this did not cause friendly fire for Rick.
I haven't really played enough to do a whole lot of anything that I mean, we know that Drew just shakes his head a lot at anything we do. So, yeah, I haven't really done enough gaming to have great stories like that.
I've been the DM and had a player pull some bullshit like that with me. I'm a firm believer that you have to obey the dice, even when it's inconvenient. And one of my players motherfucking triple natural 20'd one of the main villains that was supposed to be a really, really hard fight for them. And fucking, that's the rules. 3 natural 20s is an auto kill against anyone, just like 3 natural 1s kills you. And so I was just like, you son of a bitch. You took an hour-long fight and made it 2 minutes.
Oh, I've learned that being part of this podcast is I actually prefer to risk doing something stupid that might be funny rather than something sensible. So doing things that will annoy Drew is, you know, pretty much the main basis of my tactics.
It's as hard to annoy me in this game because I kind of go into every game expecting a shit show. It's what I'm planning for.
Yeah, I had this one character. It was just a two-person party. And we were down at the bottom of the sea exploring something, and my character came up and the other character stayed below, and I basically just sailed off without him, and that not only pissed off the other character, but really pissed off the DM that I did that.
Two people isn't a party. Two people is just sex, dude.
Well, you know, well, basically then I took the bed and I left with it.
Left the other player in the wet spot.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't have anything specific on this one. I just piss people off.
All right, Rick, what's our next one?
All right. Should be another easy one. Jacob asks, have you guys ever thought of buying health potions?
Yeah, guys, have you? After tonight?
I did.
They're fucking expensive.
Fandango has all my cash.
Fandango can heal himself. He's not worried about anybody else that much.
Well, you guys still are going to get paid for these hives. You might want to invest in a healing potion or two since your off-healer, the paladin, doesn't have healing anymore.
All right. Moving on here. Christopher asks, if you guys could see the actual life of any of the characters from your books, who would you choose?
Like, see the whole life?
I don't know what that means.
Like a weird god warrior?
Yeah, you know, it sounds like stepping outside the books, he's kind of asking, okay, like, you know, what which of your characters would you kind of actually like to, you know, I don't know, just see a little bit more of or something? I don't know.
See what they get up to when they're not in your book?
Yeah. Yeah. When they're off screen, if you will.
I mean, I only write the parts that I think are interesting, so boring shit, I'll just leave.
By saying that, I would have liked to have seen a bit of Cooper's former life before they got sucked into the game. I think you alluded to it in the Christmas special you did.
Cooper's Christmas Carol, yeah.
I'd like to see more of that.
Go ahead.
I guess since it's tax season, I wouldn't mind seeing what Fred does off camera, because there's a lot of shit I could stand to learn.
Yeah, I think I just want to hire Fred this time of year.
Yeah.
I don't want to see what my guys get up to off screen. I mean, all the Black Knight boys do is fucking drink blood and play video games.
So pretty much the standard, except replace Bud with beer. Or Blood with
They're
Bud.
The same thing.
There we go.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Bill the Vampire has a Facebook page that's pretty much devoted to his like time when he's not in the middle of his big adventures. And most of the time, it's just stupid shit like okay, you know, toilet broke.
Does Bill have more Facebook followers than you do?
You know, for the longest time he did, but I finally surpassed him.
Congratulations!
Anybody else?
No, I can't think of all my characters. I think will probably have fairly dull lives when they're not on adventures. So. Yeah, that's not a great advertisement for my books, is it? Pretend I said something interesting. Right. I mean, interesting and hilarious.
I just said I want to watch mine do taxes, so I mean...
Yeah. All right. Well, this is a question for you, Steve. Trey has put up a YouTube video of the Thighmaster infomercial with Suzanne Summers, and he wants to know if that's the inspiration for Brandon's last name.
Kind of, yeah. I think when I was coming up with a name, I wanted something. I was thinking of the Chuck Norris memes, and I just wanted something that sounded like an 8-year-old would think it was badass, but I misunderstood it massively. So. I think I was originally going with something like Chuck Del Haver or something like that, and eventually said Brandon because of Brandon Lee, and Thighmaster because it sounds like, yeah, it's you know, like it sounds like it might be a badass name, or it might be something your mum hasn't used for 20 years because she bought it off of my shopping channel. So yeah, pretty much.
Alright. Now this one is for Joe, and he left the night, so we'll skip that. Alright, Khalil asks, Drew, perhaps this time you told us more about these explicit college videos which were mentioned several episodes ago.
Oh Jesus, several episodes ago. I don't remember what jokes I told. I think the worst videos of me are probably the ones of me doing a power hour and getting drunk on camera. And those still aren't that bad. Because, you know, 6 beers in an hour isn't that much when you're 6 foot fucking four.
Yeah, although I'll tell you, six of those orange sodas in an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you're drunk and diabetic.
Video is the one of me eating cereal mixed with booze. Because the Beerios turned real bad on me in the first part.
Oh, God.
So if you go to my site, drewhaysnovels.com, and go to the blog, there's some videos scattered a bit out in there. Look up, just search for cereal, and you'll find it. It's pretty bad. I'd say that's the worst I have on the internet.
That he knows of. If you go to pornhub.com, and search for Drew Hayes. It's a whole different.
There probably is a Drew Hayes who's a porn star. There's a Drew Hayes who's fucking everything else. Like, there's.
Well, yeah, fucking everything
star
else.
Drew Hayes. There's a comic Drew Hayes.
That's who I thought was everywhere. GM in this thing when Rick first invited me in. I was like, fucking hey, the Poison Elves, dude?
Yeah, sadly he has passed away. I am not dead, although Google thinks I am. And no, I don't know how to get my picture to not come up with his posthumous date.
And you also don't have very large elfin ears.
That too. All right, Rick, what's our next one?
All right. Adrian asks, is Junior Adventurer likely to be a part of the New Testament of Torag? Well, Silas has never used Junior Adventurer. That's an Arrow of the Gods thing.
Yeah, why would you connect those things? That's crazy.
That's really weird, too... man. I don't know where you're coming from with this.
You know, Adrian, we're just going to assume that you're new to the podcast. Here's one that's just kind of out in left field by Jeremy. He asks, what do you guys do to get through a bad cold?
Oh, that might be something to do with the fact that I have just got through a bad cold. I actually I took a day off work and read Starship Grifters by Robert Cruzy. Very, very funny book. So next time I get ill, I'll read another Authors and Dragons book. So that's what you should do when you have a cold.
You know what? I'm going to say Steve speaks for all of us on that one. Yeah, that's the cure for a cold, is curling up with a good Authors and Dragons book.
And if you don't have a cold, donating to a GoFundMe to bring Steve across the pond to Con Carolinas is a great preventative measure against colds.
Oh, I don't think we've even said it on the podcast yet, but it's live.
What an excellent segue that was.
I know.
I am
Steve, do you want to talk about that a little?
Yeah, the GoFundMe to get me to Con Carolinas is going incredibly well. I'm well over 50% of the way there. We've had some really generous donations from people. I think on the next podcast, I will take the time to write their names down and read them out. I haven't done it this time because I'm a dick. But some incredibly generous donations. And I'm incredibly grateful, and I really hope to see people there. There's been a few people messaging me saying they're going to make the effort to get over there and see us all. So that's going to be excellent. I'm really excited.
That's awesome, man. And so for those of you who heard, he's doing a good job, but not quite there yet. And, you know, still time to get some donations in and get your name read on the next podcast, it seems like.
Sorry, before we move on to the next question, I'd like to add that reading Critical Failures cures AIDS.
Wow, that's pretty good. Talk of the Monster Hunter just makes toenail fungus go away.
Yeah. I think reading my books technically gets you drunk.
Handling your books and coming into contact with Drew's skin may actually get you drunk.
That's fair.
My shit just causes eye strain.
Oh. Yeah, one more thing about the GoFundMe. The prizes are on their way. It will probably take a couple of weeks for them to arrive and a couple of weeks for them to ship. But for those of you concerned, no, I haven't scammed you. There will be some prizes coming to you in about a month or so. So again, if you want to donate to the GoFundMe, get me to America for Con Carolinas. You can check out our Facebook page. I believe it's linked there. Or just PM me on Facebook. I'm always happy to hear from listeners.
Bernard asks, what do you think the other followers of Torag are like? Are they all like Silas?
I can't imagine that church would have lasted if they were all like Silas. They would have been killed.
Well, I think in Silas's mind, they're all like Silas. But the reality is, no, not even remotely.
Yeah, so I thought about it. So Brandon's only real experience of any follower of Torag is Silas. I think he just assumes that Torag is a deeply sadistic, terrible god. But he's probably all right. It's just, you know, Silas.
There's a reason he is no longer a paladin of Torag.
He's probably a perfectly nice god.
He's like disavowed all knowledge.
All right, folks, well, that's going to be it for this week, but be sure to join us next time for Authors and Dragons. If things go to plan, it should be a very special, interesting episode. And in fact, we're going to try something a little special coming up, hopefully. If you tune in, it's just a regular game, it didn't work. So with that tantalizing cliffhanger, we'll see you next game. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Authors and Dragons is brought to you under a Creative Commons license, meaning you are free to share this material so long as credit is given to the original creators, which is us, the people who are playing it. The opening music, Take a Chance, and closing theme, Master of the Feast, are both credited to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and also used under a Creative Commons license.